Showtime.
Yeah, showtime.
Maybe you'll laugh.
Ha ha, hearty, har, har.
Maybe you'll cry. You definitely will be entertained.
It's that simple. Are we clear? Are we clear?
On with the show, this is it.
Welcome to the BS Show. I'm Bob Sansevier, coming to you from the Bradshaw and Bryant and Smart Start MN Studios. Got a lot to cover today. We have three very special guests. Jeff O'Brien, he's with us every Monday, still a very special guest. And we have Tad Jude and Jacqueline Jude. Tad is running to be the next Attorney General, and I'm pulling for you just because I don't like the current one, and we haven't even got to know each other yet. But I got to start off by asking
this. I'll quit while I'm ahead.
How often do people have you heard, "Hey, Jude"? Yeah. Though you have been a judge, so I doubt they say that in court. But I'm guessing you have friends that say it to you just as a joke or no?
Oh, absolutely. I won't try to do my impression of "Hey, Jude," but it's been kind of a theme song as I travel through life. More recently, I've been confused with Judge Judy.
Judge Jude.
They kind of get our names confused, but I'm not Judge Judy.
Yeah. Now, I only know a small fraction of it, but you started to tell me. It's a fascinating story. You started at age 20, your first campaign to go into the House, right? Was it the state legislature?
Right.
Right? And your wife, your dad, and you... One of nine, and you have all sisters,
mm-hmm.
and you were one of 11? Right?
Yeah, I'm the oldest of 11 kids, grew up out at Maple Lake,
okay,
a little bit west of Buffalo.
But you knew each other, you got to know each other then, you were family friends, but you two haven't been married that long though, right?
Just October.
Yep. Yeah, so, we just got married in October.
Well, congratulations on that. You're still kind of newlyweds.
Yeah.
So you reconnected after decades, or did you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, we've lived and...
Very
connected.
Neat. Yeah, that's a
found
very
each other
neat.
Again.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to. Well, let's just start off with this. Why did you decide you want to run for Attorney General? You've been a practicing judge for how long?
11 years.
Okay.
I was living and breathing the courtroom out in Washington County in Stillwater for 11 years, and it's the 10th district. They have 10 different judicial districts in Minnesota. That one takes in 8 counties. It takes in Washington County, Anoka County, Wright County, Sherburne County, and then goes up north.
Okay.
Like Kennebec and Chisago and Isani, Pine. Those are the counties of the 10th Judicial District.
So that's quite an area.
And we're on the wrong course in terms of our attorney general's office. Our attorney general is hyperpartisan.
Yes.
And what we need to do is bring back to some sense of balance and some sense of justice rather than party politics. And that's why I'm running.
And you shouldn't, I agree with that. You shouldn't be partisan. You should be looking out for the good of everyone in the state, which is not a bad way to go. That's not the way it's been going, though. So I've not been a fan of Ellison. And I was one of the people because we were told, by his party, and I don't disagree with it, that you have to believe women. Yet no one wanted to believe his ex-girlfriend when she talked about things that he had done to her, because that didn't fit their narrative. So
the case that really sticks in my my craw, so to speak, is the Kim Potter case, because that went from Hennepin County over to Washington County. You had protesters show up there. You have civil attorneys asking for higher charges. The county attorney sent it back to Hennepin County. The attorney who was assigned, Imran Ali, is a respected and experienced attorney. He just quit because went back to Hennepin County, went up to the Attorney General's office. They increased the charges of first-degree manslaughter, and it seemed in every respect that things broke down.
Yeah.
And it seems like a terrible tragedy for everybody and our system of justice, and that's why I'm running.
There is an appeal on that, though, right?
Or have they haven't had sentencing yet. Kim Potter's over at Shakopee.
Can you not appeal until after a sentencing?
You have to have a ruling that's definitive
before
it goes to the Court of Appeals. And I'm sure it will be appealed. There's no doubt in my mind that it will be appealed. But in any case, we've got a system of justice in Minnesota that's been refined and insulated from mob psychology. Unfortunately, I see mob psychology having more and more of an influence in our system of justice, and that's not fair.
No, not at all. Now, Jeff knows you. When did you first meet him?
Well, I met him in 1996 when he was running for Congress, because you're surrounded by Tommies. He's a St. Thomas alum, and so, you know, you got a Tommy running for office. I'm going to help. So,
okay,
I think I was chair of the College Republican Party there when you were running.
No offense, but I'm going to stand up for a second.
Yeah.
We won't hold it against you, Bob.
My kids are Johnnies.
My son is a Johnny. Yeah. He's a sophomore there. Do you have children still at St. John's, or they're graduates? Okay.
Good, yeah.
And graduates. It just worked out for him because they, he went, visited the campus, and he loved it. And fortunately, he had great ACT scores. So they welcomed him in. And now, I mean, he's playing on the rugby team, and they went to the national the Final Four. So, it's been really good for him. Yeah, and I'm sure St. Thomas.
Our vote probably went down in Stearns County now. You pointed out I'm a Tommy, but in any case, St. John's has just an idyllic campus. If you go up there, I don't know if you see the little buildings they make out of sticks.
I haven't seen those, no.
Yeah, they make buildings out of sticks in spring, I think. And it's just incredible. And you can absolutely lose yourself at St. John's.
Well, with St. Thomas, because I knew John Gilardi and I thought the world of him, but Glenn Caruso and John Tower are two guys I consider friends. And, I don't really know the coaches now at St. John's other than the rugby coach. But, I mean, I think St. Thomas is a terrific school. And, the rivalry is pretty much over.
Yeah.
They should be.
Yeah.
And St. John's did stand up quite a bit for St. Thomas when that whole mess came through. What school was behind it again?
St. Olaf.
Yeah, St. Olaf.
No, I always say the Johnnies got the raw end of the deal on that whole thing, because they basically have, for football at least, they have about one meaningful opponent. And
Bethel.
Yeah, that's it. So. No, but we had met when I was in college. And you and I both live in the 10th district, Bob. So I was pleasantly surprised when Tad announced he was running for judge years ago. And so I'm the one in the neighborhood everyone knows me as the attorney. So I get calls from all the neighbors. Who should I vote for judge? So I've been kind of campaigning for you for years. I'd be like, you got to vote. Make sure you vote for Jude. You got to vote for him. Okay, so that kind of stuff. You've been good on the bench too. So I had heard rumors that you might be announcing, and so I held off supporting anybody else because I was just waiting. And so I think, to your point, that office does need to be less partisan. I mean, the Attorney General's office covers, it's not only, Keith Ellison is trying to make it into something it's really not. It's not supposed to be this like super prosecution office. It's supposed to be handling things like charity fraud. What's going on right now? He's let that go. It advises all the different state agencies. There's a lot of stuff to be done, and you can't have some partisan hack running that office. It has enormous consequences for state government when the Attorney General is that partisan.
And also, nothing has ever been filed against Ilhan Omar. Whether it's the issue with her marrying her brother, or the issue with the money that odd amount of money that's gone to now her new husband.
That's unbelievable, the things that have gone on under what I consider to be the a species of the Ellison machine.
Yeah.
Now, when it came down to the vote last November on funding the police, there was some sand thrown into the gears of the Ellison machine. And you talk about some of the practices in the AG's office. They've got attorneys embedded in the AG's office that are funded by Michael Bloomberg's foundation out of New York. And I can't see where the connection is to Minnesota. I can't see how there's any accountability to the taxpayers of Minnesota. And that's something that doesn't make any sense to me. I think there's a bill in the legislature this week in the state Senate. Senator Mary Kiffmeyer is authoring it to try to have some accountability from employees of the Attorney General's office. They have tremendous power.
Yes.
And we shouldn't have people who are funded by New York foundations.
No, not at all.
With all the authority of the Attorney General's office.
Well, I think that's one of the questions with both the Chauvin and the Potter prosecutions is, who, at least with Chauvin, that was not your typical attorney general, assistant attorney general prosecuting that case. They had supposedly pro bono attorneys. I want to know what the arrangements were with all these supposed pro bono attorneys. He had some of the biggest, you know, guns in town prosecuting that case. It's not like, I mean, it's like, it's one thing to take a case away from the county attorneys and prosecute it by the attorney general's office. It's another to bring in ringers.
Which is what happened. You know what? Let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we do want to talk about no-knock warrants, because that's in the news now what happened last week, which it's horrible what happened last week from both sides. We'll take a quick break, and the BS Show will be right back.
When you need someone to listen, a lawyer you know and trust.
Thank you so much for voting Bradshaw & Bryant top law firm in the best of Central Minnesota. I'm honestly not 100% sure that we deserve it, considering that the court shutdown during the pandemic cut off paths to justice. Quarantine made it difficult to see people, and I frankly never expected to have people working from home. But we did forge ahead by using Zoom, adding staff to increase contacts, and most of all, utilizing court time to meet with so many of you in our office. I want to thank everyone that has turned to us for help despite these challenges. Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. We hope you and your loved ones enjoy the holiday season and have a happy, healthy, and safe new year.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking
justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant. This is Bob Sansiver, host of The BS Show, and I have known Ed Cohn and Mike Friedberg for many, many years. They're both great guys. They also are the owners of Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System. They are the only people you should go to, the go-to people, if you or someone you know has had a DUI. They will get them back on the road safely and seamlessly. Mike and Ed are attorneys. They used to be attorneys that would help you if you got a DUI. Now they're there to help you once you get that DUI and to get you back on the road. They helped craft the ignition interlock laws for the state of Minnesota. You call Mike and Ed or one of their staff, and they could run you through the process, give you a template of what to expect if you get a DUI. They will lay it all out for you, everything from hiring an attorney to what you will need to expect. They also, if you get a DUI, they will come to you. They have a mobile unit that will come to you to install the ignition interlock. There is a great deal of stress. If you get a DUI, they could help relieve some of that stress. Go to smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. That's 952-224-7050. This segment brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant.
In Pennsylvania, a teenage girl that was about to turn 18 was driving her brand new car home when she looked down to check a text message and struck a tree, killing herself and injuring a friend in the car. The average message takes 4.6 seconds to create. Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. Please don't drive while intoxicated or allow your friends and family to do so. No text message or phone call is worth dying for.
Find Mike Bryant at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Mike Bryant, seeking justice for the injured.
We are back with Attorney Jeff O'Brien and Judge Ted Jude, Judge Jude. I'm not going to say the other one. Jacqueline Jude is with us. And, you know, in the news now, and there were protests over the weekend, the no-knock warrant where this young man was shot and killed by police. Is a no-knock warrant, is there a better way, or is it just unfortunate? I got to be honest, if I'm laying on the couch, I probably wouldn't have my gun with me, but, I mean, people have a right to defend themselves in their home, and for that to happen the way it did, it just happened so fast. And this guy did just, I mean, it's, he reacted the way I think many would react that have legally own a gun.
No, it was a tragedy, absolutely, and I don't know all the facts of the case, and one of the first things you figure out when you're a judge is you have to keep an open mind.
Yes.
Until all the facts come in, and I'm interested in seeing what all the facts are in the case. And I know the BCA is doing an investigation right now, and when I look at a no-knock warrant, it's something that is necessary under extreme circumstances, and it's necessary for two purposes. First of all, there are cases when law enforcement may be ambushed. You know, they may be concerned about an ambush. That's a necessary time for no-knock warrant. Secondly, if there's critical evidence, it may be destroyed. And occasionally, there's critical evidence that may be destroyed on a knock. And those are the two circumstances that would justify a no-knock warrant. But it appears here that obviously a tragedy occurred, and I'm interested in seeing what all the facts are. And there's really everybody should feel safe in their home. They have the right to a pistol to be available in self-defense. And that's something that
but you have no
individuals
chance when
are
five or six cops in there.
Yeah, I mean this is I don't know what all the facts are, and that's what I'd have to wait and see.
Well, I have little doubt that the guy you're trying to unseat, Keith Ellison, he will. And I don't know if he's made an announcement yet, but he'll try to charge one of the cops, the cop that shot, because it is in a sense, it's not the Kim Potter thing, but Kim Potter never should have. Shot, you know, she shouldn't have drawn her gun thinking it was her taser, but it was a horrible and tragic mistake. And I think that maybe on appeal, where you're not getting a motion from a jury, it'll come out differently.
You know, that's why we have the Court of Appeals. You know, the Court of Appeals is there to be an error correction court. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, in my 11 years, they haven't had to reverse me too often. Most of what I worked on was approved by the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court, but occasionally they find something wrong, and that's why we have it.
Have you ever either done this or been tempted to do it, overrule a jury?
I've never overruled a jury. A jury is a fact finder, and that's oftentimes I disagree with the jury. You know, I say, how could the jury come back that way? But they heard all the evidence, and you're entitled to a jury of your peers under the Constitution. I think it's Article 6, and that's what allows you to have confidence in our system of justice. You've got peers. And that's why you go through all these questions when it comes to picking a jury. Yeah, you know, you try to get a fair, impartial jury. And you have attorneys that will grill the potential jurors. You have a balanced jury. And I have a lot of confidence in juries. However, the charging mechanism was contaminated in the Kim Potter case.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was on a jury, and it's years ago now, but I actually raised my hand and told the judge when they were asking, you know, picking the jury, I've already made up my mind, because it was cut and dry. A woman worked at a realty company. A door fell on her head, and she was suing, and because she felt that, I mean, and it was, they were doing construction, and it should never have fallen on her head. So they brought me back in chambers, and after they asked me, you had mentioned you listened to KQ. The attorney representing the woman was and also the prosecutor were both fine with it. The fact that I said I've already made up my mind, because they felt that they would be able to convince me. You know, each felt they could convince me, and they felt I would be fair. And as it turned out, the woman won, but she didn't win the award she wanted. She was a woman who would work a few hours a week, enough to go on vacation. So she'd make enough money to go on vacation, then she'd work again to go on vacation. So we just figured out how much over the next 15 or 20 years she would have made doing the same thing, and she was upset we didn't give her enough. But we just gave her the same lifestyle she would have had. She wanted a huge award, and we didn't feel that was, you know, merited.
And what I've found since the Chauvin case is that people are recognizing the role of jurors. You know, people are appreciating the role of jurors. You know, you go back 3 or 4 years, nobody wanted to serve on the jury. You know, you get a jury notice. And
yeah.
Everybody tried to find an excuse. Oh, I'm sick. You know, whatever. But after the Chauvin case, it was televised. People watched it. I think people got to understand our jury system a little bit better and appreciate the role.
Another question I mentioned before, but you know, we talk a lot about, you know, Ellison taking, you know, in the Attorney General's office, taking over these prosecutions of law enforcement. To the detriment of his other duties. What's your this feeding our future issue with all this money, these COVID funds that were supposedly supposed to go to feed kids, and now we're finding is ended up in the pockets of a whole bunch of individuals? What's your thought on that? How would you handle the charity oversight role of the AG's office differently?
Obviously, the role of oversight of nonprofits has to be increased in the AG's office, because you're finding a nonprofit industrial complex being built, and it's being built. I don't know where $200 million went with Feeding Our Future. You know, that's going to be very interesting. It's $200 million, and be very interesting to see where that money went, because people in good faith give money to try to feed people that need help. I look at our attorney general's idea of helping poor people is to sue the Little Sisters of the Poor. You know, that's his idea of trying to help poor people. He was on the board of the Minneapolis Community Action Program. You know, this is a program that's supposed to be insulating homes, helping people that need help maintaining their houses. The money went to trips to the Caribbean. You know, it went out the window rather than to people that needed help. And that's not my idea of helping people, giving people a helping hand. It's the idea of helping small businesses to sue them. And we need to help small business survive a pandemic. I mean, this hasn't been an easy 2 years, particularly for small business.
No. Ellison's office almost seemed to relish this idea of going after small businesses when questioning or contesting the governor's orders. And I have, experience working with the hospitality industry. You know, we sued the governor. We didn't have anybody open against the orders, but they were vicious. I mean, there's a woman in jail right now who's simply disagreed with the governor's ability to shut her business down, and fought him on it. And Ellison's been bulldogging all of these people, these business owners. And it's like, you know, these emergency powers were given up in July, and he's still going after settlements with all of them, and bankrupting them. It's like, give it up, dude.
Mm-hmm. He's not that type of person, though. You know, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll learn more about Mr. Jude. Hey, Jude. I'm sorry, I just can't. You got to figure out a way to make that part of your
campaign. You're going to have some bumper music here.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. If you have been laid off during the COVID-19 crisis and you have sustained a work injury in the past, you might be entitled to workers' compensation benefits right now. Bialke Law is open to serve you and answer any questions you might have about workers' compensation. Call Dave Bialke at Bialke Law and talk to him about your injury, even if you're off work right now. Dave Bialke will get you the benefits you and your family need within as little as a few days. There is no out-of-pocket cost to you and no in-person visits required. The entire process can be done from the comfort and safety of your home. Even if you're unemployed and receiving unemployment benefits, you could be eligible for workers' comp over and above unemployment. Call Dave Bialke today at 763-571-2410 or look him up at bialkelaw.com, BIALKELaw.com. If you or someone you know has a plumbing, heating, or air conditioning issue, there's only one place to go: Saber Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. This is Bob Sansevier, and Saber Heating is my go-to place for plumbing, heating, and air conditioning. And if I have any questions, I just pick up the phone and call, or I go to saberheating.com. Saber has a great offer for you. If another company tells you you need a new air conditioner, you get in touch with Saber, and they will send a technician for free, no cost, and let you know if you actually do, because sometimes other people are wrong. Any issues, whether, again, it's plumbing, heating, or air conditioning, go to saberheating.com, SABRE heating.com, or call 763-473-2267. Also, right now, Saber is offering a terrific deal. You get 10% off a new air conditioner if you mention the BS Show. And that's on top of other great discounts and deals offered by Saber Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Welcome back to the BS Show. This is Bob Sansevier, and this segment is brought to you by All Auto Glass. I used them recently. They replace windows on my car and truck. They have mobile service. They have up-to-date technology. They will calibrate vehicles that require it. Great cash prices if you don't have insurance, and a lifetime warranty on their replacements as long as you own your car.
They work with all insurance companies, cover the entire Twin Cities metro area, and use quality products and workmanship. Check them out at allauto.com. That's allauto.com. We are back with Jeff O'Brien, Jacqueline Jude, and Tad Jude, who I understand once was a Democrat. Now you are running as a Republican,
you know,
so
born,
you outgrew that, huh?
Born and raised a Democrat, and back in those days, you know, the average Minnesotan seemed to be a Democrat. It was the days of Hubert Humphrey, and I just think of the Bloombergs. You know, they were all Republicans back then, and rank-and-file Minnesotans were Democrats. It's completely opposite now. You've got rank-and-file Minnesotans, Republicans. They feel, you know, they're workabees. They're working hard to support their families, survive, and that's their home. And the Wall Street elite are all in the Democrat Party now. You know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of flip.
Well, yeah. There are people who are still hold the Democratic values that you once held. You know, there are people who are just hardworking Democrats, but I think it's at the national level, and certainly in the state too, there is some sort of elitism, and it's almost a sense of entitlement that they have, and it could be troublesome.
There was
obviously a
really good story. It was an Associated Press story from a couple weeks ago talking about kind of this schism, and it was focusing on Benson, Minnesota, which I paid attention because my dad's from Benson. And I know from his stories, you know, everybody there was a Democrat growing up. It was FDR, Harry Truman, you know, when Eisenhower won, they were all for Adlai Stevenson. And now in the story, you got the impression that the only person in town that was not for Republicans or Trump was the newspaper editor.
Okay.
That was it.
Yeah.
Everybody else was, you know, and it's a, you know, it's a rural farm community. They've had hard times, but you see this shift with a lot of Minnesotans. Like you said, there was the Humphrey Democrat that is now a Republican.
Yeah, and Hubert Humphrey and Harry Truman and, you know, JFK, they wouldn't recognize the Democratic Party of today.
No.
They would not recognize it.
Yeah.
Now, Jeff, you had mentioned during the break about COVID, and also you mentioned about Stacey Abrams. See, I don't think she torpedoed her. You thought she might have hurt her chances for a re-election because she didn't wear a mask with a bunch of kids, but they'll find a way to, you know.
No, because first of all, she thinks she's running for re-election because she thinks she won last time. But I think it hurt her because I think it gave the voters a idea that, boy, if she's elected, this is what we're headed for. We're going to go. You know, you're really getting to a point this year. The big issue is, do you want to go back to normal? And depending on which party you vote for, you can go back to normal after COVID. And one part, and one side just seems to, like, you know, the Democrats just for whatever reason cannot let this go. You know, you've got there's still cases, but it's that virus is certainly not as deadly as it was 2 years ago, and yet they still want to apply. You know, we've got the mayor of Minneapolis making you show vaccine proof of vaccine or a test to get into a bar or restaurant. You know, mask mandates. They just will not let the controls go.
You know, that's something you see in really authoritarian foreign countries where people have to carry papers.
Mm-hmm.
They have to carry papers proving citizenship. They have to carry papers proving vaccinations. They have to do all kinds of things in authoritarian countries.
And there are people going out with their phones to take video of others or restaurants that aren't asking for the vaccination papers. I mean, this is like it was. I hate when people bring up Nazi Germany, but this is, like you said, in an authoritarian country, you turn people in because they're not looking for the vaccination papers. It's absurd.
Mm-hmm. And
it's
frightening. We need to figure out how to live with COVID. It's becoming endemic, it's to the point where I think we just need to come in with ways that we can all respect each other and live with COVID. And the way it was handled originally by the governor, I think, was just terrible, and the attorney general gave him that authority. The attorney general agreed with giving Governor Walz the authority through the executive council. The executive council has the authority to confirm executive authority to the governor and raise no objections. I mean, the big box stores did okay, but the small business in Minnesota really suffered. Mm-hmm. And if you were had a liquor store, you did okay. Yeah, if you were in a church, you couldn't go to church. And it just didn't seem to be even-handed approach.
And now there was the Johns Hopkins study that came out last week that said that all those lockdown measures had no impact on stopping the spread, stopping deaths, and the right. The harmful results were catastrophic.
Mm-hmm. Now, you, I wanted to just touch on this because your wife and you had spoken off the air about your hobby, or one of the things you like doing, is winter camping.
Yeah.
Have you had to curtail that because you're running now? Or
no,
you go up there and talk to the people who are winter camping with you. And what is winter camping?
Okay, winter camping is camping.
It's cold.
And we've had a group. In fact, there's a group that's gone winter camping for 50 years. Now, I've only gone winter camping for the last dozen years. And I love the boundary waters. You know, I love all the state parks. You know, I belong to what they call the Passport Club, where you try to go to all the 72 state Minnesota state parks, go camping and canoeing and cross-country skiing, all that type of thing. You just go out there, you build a snow fort, so to speak, and it's not quite an igloo, but it's a lot like
that. Sleep in that?
And you can. Yeah, you can sleep there. You can sleep under the stars. You know, you just double bang.
You do have fire, right? You could have a little.
Absolutely. And we went to Wild River State Park 2 weeks ago, and Wild River is just gorgeous. You go back in there and don't have to worry about the bugs.
Or ticks, which one reason I don't like to camp.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about ticks. And it's just quiet. You can get a clear head. It builds character.
Well, build something when you're out there. My God. I hate when I have to go out and open gates for my son to take bales of hay out to the horses, because we have horses. It's freezing just waiting for that, and I'm tomping back and forth, but you're out in the wild. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
I certainly respect you even more now to hear that. Now, you have a website that people can go to.
Yeah, we have a website. It's tadjude.com, TADJUDE.com. Now, if you say it real fast, it comes out as tattooed. I'm not tattooed. It's Tad Jude, J-U-D-E.
Okay, .com. And I encourage people to go to that to learn more about you. And like I said, I was behind you even before I got to talk to you, just because I'm not an Ellison fan. I certainly support you even more. So I hope that things do work out. And I know my family support, because you met my daughter, Sam,
as
you announced on her show, the AM 1130 morning show. Mm-hmm. So Justice and Drew and Sammy 2 is what I call it. So thank you, Jeff O'Brien. Thank you, Jacqueline Jude, for coming in. And thank you, Tad Jude. We'll take a quick break, and the BS show will be right back. Hey, this is Bob Sansevier, and I want to tell you again about my go-to theater, St. Michael Cinema. You've got the great popcorn. You got real butter. They have live music. They have great movies playing at all times. They have a bar. They have a restaurant. Everything you want, they have. And Shelley Schnell, the manager over at St. Michael Cinema, is going to tell you about something new they have, a new app that makes it easier to know what's going on there.
Thanks, Bob. We are so excited to release the first version of the St. Michael Cinema 15 app. It is available on Google Play or on the App Store. It's going to allow you to buy movie tickets right now and to sign up for the newsletter. Our next phase is going to be loyalty getting added to the app. Phase after that is going to be pre-ordering food and beverage or ordering it directly in the auditorium. Super excited. Download your app today.
Thanks so much for that, Shelly. And again, St. Michael Cinema, right off of Interstate 94.
If you or someone you know is dealing with a DUI, go to smartstartmn.com/the BS show, and you will get information for 20% off an ignition interlock system. Again, smartstartmn.com/the BS show.
I've been telling BS show listeners about Bradshaw and Bryant for years and about how they always are seeking justice for the injured at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Bradshaw and Bryant also has attorneys who defend people against misdemeanor and felony criminal charges, and that includes drunk driving arrests. Bradshaw and Bryant seeks justice for everyone, and you can find out more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here.
Paying too much for your health care costs? Solidarity HealthShare is a health sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund health care costs while protecting and practicing Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, call 844-313-4999. Again, 844-313-4999 or visit SolidarityHealthShare.org. That's SolidarityHealthShare.org. We are joined by Dave Bialke from Bialke Law, BIALKELaw.com. Besides being the best worker comp attorney you'll find anywhere, Dave is a huge fan of the Twins and the Vikings. And Dave, last week we're talking, hey, the new coach, look who it's going to be. It's going to be Jim Harbaugh. Well, that didn't go so well. And are you excited about this Kevin O'Connell? I honestly don't know what to make of a guy who's not calling the plays, and he's the hot coordinator. But what if it won't happen? But what if that Rams team gets shut out in the Super Bowl and the offense does nothing? The excitement won't be sky high, that's for sure.
Well, you know, the way I look at it is, yeah, he's not an exciting hire, but, you know, some of the best coaches in history have been pretty boring.
Yeah,
guys like, you think of Belichick. I mean, if he was ever interviewed, who was, you know, chomping the bit saying, God, we're so excited for him. So I, you know, I'm going to reserve judgment on that. Harbaugh was exciting, and I suspect it was, that it was seriously considered, but then, you know, you don't know what was really going on behind the scenes. It was just a difficult situation for anyone on the outside to analyze.
Well, I just think the Wolves somehow muddled it, but that's just me, maybe. Now, the thing about him, mm-hmm. He was the quarterback's coach for Cousins in 2017 in Washington, the year, by the way, that was the worst quarterback percentage in the history of Kirk Cousins in the NFL. But let's not hold that against them. But it would appear that what they're going to try to do is extend, yet again, Cousins so that they can cut down his hit on the salary cap. You can't have a $45 million hit from a quarterback on your team because you can't do anything then. So I'm sure they will try to renegotiate another deal. That gets him even more money. I just wish they'd cut it. Get beat done with them, take whatever lumps there are, and move on. Because I don't think he's a winner.
Stop the bleeding. You know, we've talked about this so many times. He's not a leader. And, you know, you got to be someone who not only has the talent, but the wherewithal to make plays happen and to lead your team. And I was always somewhat optimistic about it. But this year, I think as the season went on, I was less and less excited to him as a leader. I just don't think he's a leader. I don't think he handled things very well on more than one front. And no, I'd like to see him go, but we're strapped. We're absolutely strapped. You know, the options are not good anywhere.
No, and you know, to me, a leader, and this is not, I'm not going to get into the political, should you have it, shouldn't you, but because of the way the rules were set up in the NFL, a leader would have gotten the shot and, you know, encouraged his teammates to do it so they didn't risk missing games and having problems that they had.
Exactly, and that's what, without getting too far into, that's exactly what I'm getting at. Whether you personally think it's right or not, it's your job. Do your job. And he just fell short, way short on that. And
absolutely.
Yeah, he lost respect, I think, all over the state, but especially in the locker room. I don't think people are excited around him.
And the other thing, you know, people are trying to make the comparison. Oh, he's better than Matthew Stafford. Stafford has one of the best percentages of comebacks in the NFL during the period he has played. So I don't make the equation. And no, the Detroit teams were not good, but they were not his fault. There are games here where Cousins just doesn't put you over the top. The key is his record against teams with winning records, and it's 9. 9 wins against teams that finish the season with winning records. That's abysmal throughout his career. I mean, what it says is he can beat the mediocre teams, but they didn't bring him in to beat the mediocre teams. If you recall, and I know you do, they brought him in to get them into the Super Bowl because Case Keenum got them within a game of the Super Bowl, and they thought all we need is a quarterback to put us over the top. So I don't understand what
that's happening. What it was. What they thought, it was a mistake. You know, hindsight's 20/20. But it was clearly a mistake, and now they're just Spielman's got it wrapped in that we just have no options. I'm not excited about this situation coming up. I'm hoping that McConnell can figure out something. You know, I'm assuming that he's. I mean, everything I guess indicates he's going to be fired. Hired. But what would happen? Have you ever seen a situation like this? They can't announce it until after the Super Bowl.
It's ridiculous.
What if he does lay an egg? Yeah.
Well, and what if something else comes up? Well, because somebody threw out a scenario. What if? What if his coach, Sean McVay, gets an offer to do big money to do TV if he wins, and he decides, you know what, I've done everything I need to do. He's not leaving L.A. if they offered him the head coaching job there. Now, that might be an unlikely scenario, but nothing's written in stone on this. And I don't understand the NFL. What's the big deal if they say he's our new coach? Everyone's assuming that he is, but we honestly don't know where it's going. We thought Harbaugh was going to be the new coach. So things absolutely do happen here. All right, I'm going to shift gears on you to your other expertise, workers' comp. As you know, and I've talked about it a few times, I should have called, and I didn't, and I'll explain why, because I thought I was a tough guy and I could handle it. When a guy brought a piece of luggage on top of my head when I'm reaching in the, you know, underneath my my seat on a plane, and I have herniated discs from it, and it's one of my big regrets professionally that I didn't call you, as my wife wisely did, and that's how we got to know each other. She called, you did a great job for her, but do you find that a lot of clients you have, they were reluctant because they don't want to admit that they're hurt, or it's like a macho thing that they just think, well, I can handle this. It's, you know, it's not a big deal. I'll just fight through it. I'm guessing it is one of the issues you deal with.
It's actually quite frequent, and it's usually the second, but, you know, could be the macho thing, but it's also people there, they're like, geez, I don't want to, because then they're going to look at me like, oh God, he's hurt again, you know? And I get that, but at the same time, when you're weighing things, you got to look at the whole picture. And if you blow a notice requirement, and they're very specific, there's 14 days, 30 days, and the absolute longest is 180 days. And I encourage people, I was talking last week to a group of firefighters union, and I was telling, these guys, yes, it is 180 days, but don't be pushing that, because then the burden shifts on the injured worker to prove that there's no prejudice to the employer.
Yes.
And so that makes it much more difficult. And it's still possible, but the 14 and 30 days, you got to give notice. Best thing is the day of or the day after. But the farther it gets out, the more problems. And these are avoidable problems. You know, down the road, there's things that we have to deal with that are not avoidable. This is an avoidable one. You just give notice, and that's no longer an issue.
Well, and you know, what's interesting about this, because I slipped going into a bill. I'm on the school board, so I slipped, and I'd mentioned it. Yeah, I may want to have somebody put some salt out there. They immediately had me fill out a form, you know, in case that I was hurt for workers' comp. And initially, I'm thinking, oh, I don't need to. But then I thought, you know what? I do need to, because I blew it once before. I'm not going to blow it again if I'm hurt.
Yep.
And that's important for people to know.
You just fill out the form.
Yeah.
It's all it is a fill out a form and turn it in. The best thing is also to keep a copy of it. But fill it out, turn it in, and then, okay, nothing happens. Nothing happens. You're good. But if later on you start having a problem, then, you know, I gave notice back then, and you're good.
No, it's a couple of minutes. It's not a big deal to fill out. So strongly encourage people, if you have any concerns or you think you have an injury, don't make the mistake I did. And I 4 herniated discs in my neck, and I know they're related to that, because I've never had a neck injury any other time. So anyway, if people want to get in touch with you, they can go to bialkelaw.com, bialkelaw.com, or they can call the number that Dave will share.
Call me at 763-571-2410. That's 763-571-2410.
Dave, thanks so much. The BS Show, take a quick break and be right back. This segment brought to you by Arco Exteriors. Arco offers free consultations that can be contact-free. They provide knowledge and value by looking over the entire roofing system to make certain it's in great condition, and they will walk you through the entire insurance process. Arco Exteriors will handle everything on the outside of the house, including roofing, siding, gutters, windows, and decks. They cover the entire Twin Cities metro area. For more information, go to arcoexteriors.com. A-R-K-O Exteriors.com. And now, here is psychic Ruth Lorden.
The Vikings may not be in the Super Bowl, but we do have a Super Bowl connection, other than having many players who get their first footings and training in the Vikings, then go on to win Super Bowls and other all-star types of awards. But with Kevin O'Connell in the Super Bowl, Kevin O'Connell, and he very well may be the next coach of the Minnesota Vikings, we are going to benefit from winning vibes. As to who wins the Super Bowl, Los Angeles. I'm not saying the Rams, I'm saying the city of Los Angeles. All of that money pouring in, people seeing, hey, maybe it's not so bad. Well, because they're cleaning everything up and the violence will be stopped. LA is going to put on its best face ever. And let's face it, it's Hollywood. They know how to put on a good show, and we're all going to see one. I'm also getting excited about the Timberwolves because they're growing strong, and with that magical new ownership, could go all the way. Minnesota is going to be more than the land of hockey. We are going to be a well-known sports state. And, of course, we're well known for health and music. Minnesota will finally get the recognition it deserves.
If you'd like to set up a reading with Ruth, go to RuthLordan.com, RuthLordan.com. Thank you to all of our guests, all of our sponsors, all of our listeners, and our radio partners, WDSM in Duluth, WNMT in Hibbing, WBHR in St. Cloud, and the RadioWorks Network in Worthington. Enjoy what's left of the day. And we'll talk to you later.